If your conscience isn't bothering you right now, you probably weren't listening to the gospel reading today. You might want to go back and reread that. Christ in today's gospel, he gives us the new law, just as Moses went up on Mount Sinai and God gave the Old Testament law. Christ goes up on the mountain and gives us the new law. And he hits four major areas: anger, lust, marriage, and our words. And those are probably four areas that hit home for most of us. So the first is anger. You know, how many of us can honestly say that we haven't been angry with someone a single time within the past week or within the past month? And Christ says anyone who's angry with his brother is liable to judgment. So how many of us can say that we haven't been angry with our parents, our siblings, our children, our coworkers, our boss, someone who cut us off in traffic? You know, how many of us can honestly say that we haven't been angry? And what anger causes us to do is it causes us, instead of treating people with respect and responding in an appropriate manner to a situation, we allow our temper to get the better of us, and we respond in an unjust way towards others. And anger can often allow hatred to take root in our hearts. So Christ calls us to get rid of all anger. Second thing he deals with is lust. It says anyone who looks at another person with lust has committed adultery in their heart. So not only actions, but also just looking at someone in an inappropriate manner. So what is lust? Lust is the opposite of love. Love is when we're concerned about the true good of the person that we love. When we work for what's ultimately and truly good for that person. Lust is directed towards ourselves when we use another person for our own pleasure or for our own purposes, or we use their body for our own purposes. And so lust is directed towards ourself out of selfishness, whereas love directs us towards another. Third thing Christ deals with is marriage. You know, we hear that the foundation of the church is teaching on marriage, the indissolubility of marriage. And if a man and a woman enter into the sacrament of marriage, that marriage lasts until death do us part. And to leave a marriage and to try and marry another person would be to commit adultery, unless it's determined that the original marriage was unlawful, which is where the church gets both the teaching on the indissolubility of marriage, but also an annulment, which is an investigation to determine whether the original marriage was lawful or not. And so Christ calls us to live according to the church's teachings on marriage, because the church's teachings come from Christ himself. And that's something that's not very popular in today's culture. People will often criticize the church's teaching on marriage, but it comes from Christ. And so it's important for us to follow those teachings. And if we're in a situation that's not in accord with church teaching, to seek to rectify that situation. And then the fourth thing Christ deals with is our words. He says that anyone who says, "You fool," is liable to fiery Gehenna, a.k.a. the fires of hell. And so, we have to be very careful with our words. How often do we use our words to tear people down or to spread, whether they're false things or true things, that hurt another person's reputation? St. Paul tells us, say only the good things men need to hear, things that will build them up. You know, how often do we use our words to tear people down when we could just as easily focus on the positive aspects and build other people up? And so these are four areas that Christ hits in the Sermon on the Mount. If you read through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7, you'll get a lot of other challenging teachings. But I want to address something that's pretty common in today's culture. Instead of striving to live by the Lord's moral teachings, and they are difficult, and realistically, if we're striving to live in accord with his teachings, we're going to fail. In which case, we need to repent, go to the sacrament of confession, be reconciled. But there's a dangerous attitude that's present in our culture, that instead of striving for obedience, instead of respecting the Lord's commandments, people want to make excuses. They want to find a way out of avoiding the law. And we have to be careful, because Christ, pretty much, he takes a hard line. He says, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter of the law will pass away from the law. And so we're called to have an attitude of obedience. But there's a few attitudes I want to highlight that are very dangerous attitudes that are present in our culture that we need to avoid. The first one is the idea that it's okay if I commit a sin because I'm a good person. You know, people will say that, but you can use that to justify any sin. Say, oh, well, I'm a good person, so it's okay if I miss Mass one time. Or it's okay if I curse the Lord's name. Or it's okay if I get angry on this one occasion because I'm still a good person. Well, you know a tree by its fruit. And if a tree is producing bad fruit, that means that there's disorder within that person. And something within them is not in conformity with the will of God. Our actions over time form our character. And every action either takes us closer to our Lord, closer to eternal life, or further away from our Lord, further on the path to destruction. And so we want to be careful not to, not to permit ourselves to sin by just saying, oh, well, I'm still a good person. Second attitude, sometimes people make excuses for their sin and they blame the other person. Well, that person made me angry. I wouldn't be angry if that person weren't such a jerk. But we need to look at ourselves. And no one forces us to be angry. Everyone has free will. And there might be a stimulus, someone does something to us, but within ourselves we have the choice as to how we respond to that. Do we respond in anger or do we respond in a different way? You know, that choice is within us. So we have to be accountable for our own actions and not blame the other person, not blame our spouse, or not blame our sibling for making us angry. A third attitude. Sometimes people will justify sin by saying, well, God will forgive me. I'll go ahead and commit this sin and I'll just go to confession later. We call that presumption. That's an abuse of God's mercy. Using God's mercy as an excuse to sin. You know, God's mercy is for people who truly repent, people who have turned away from sin and who are seeking forgiveness and striving to live by his commandments. We should never abuse God's mercy and use that as an excuse to sin. If anything, as Christians, we should be more determined to follow God's laws, not use our position as Christians in order to try and take advantage of God's mercy, because that won't go well when we stand before Christ. And the fourth attitude I want to address is relativism. And this is something Pope Benedict focused on very heavily in his papacy. Relativism is when people make themselves the center of all truth, and they reject any higher moral truth beyond themselves. They'll say, you might have your code of morality, but I have my code. This is what the church teaches, but I live by my own laws. All determined for myself what's right and what's wrong. People who reject any truth beyond themselves. And they basically make themselves the determining factor of what's true and what's good and what's evil. And so this attitude is very prevalent. You'll hear people say it all the time. They're like, well, this is what the church teaches, but you know, that's fine for them, but I have my own laws that I live by. You'll find this a lot in Protestant churches. You know, certain churches will vote on what their morality is, as if they have the power to determine what determines a marriage or whether marriage is indissoluble or not. You know, they'll take a vote on it. Or they'll go by the teachings of the founder of their particular denomination. And whatever that individual says, as if that person has the power to determine right or wrong. Truth and morality rests in God, not within ourselves. And so we need to look beyond ourselves and recognize that there is objective right or wrong, and we don't get to determine what that is. So as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, it is a challenging set of teachings. But Jesus Christ calls us to greatness, and he's calling us to be purified of all sin so that one day we can enter into the glory of heaven. So the law is a good thing. We need to strive to be obedient to it and repent when we fail. But we need to avoid attitudes that excuse sin or say it's not a big deal if I sin or I get to determine what's right or wrong. We need to be very careful to avoid those attitudes so that when we stand before Christ, we can be found faithful to him.